Hare Krishna, dear devotees, welcome back to the daily readings of Srila Prabhupada's books, where we're right here in the live studios of the Haven, or Hive, Kent, Southeast England, just near the English Channel. And it's nice to be back home, and even nicer to be back with you again, reading Srila Prabhupada's books together, and especially reading about Krishna directly. This wonderful summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam given to us by Srila Prabhupada, a masterpiece of literature, so potent because it can make us attracted to Krishna and attached to Krishna. And this is the goal of all of our austerities, and of all of our service and everything that we do. The goal is to actually become attached to Krishna and help make others attached to Krishna. This is the way into Krishna's heart. We talk a lot about how we have to have faith in Krishna, but maybe sometimes we might not always remember how important it is to act in such a way that Krishna will be attracted or have faith in us. But that's what's required. And the main essential requirement for that is to be eager to hear. So I thank you, those who are regular attenders at these daily readings, for that, because you're encouraging me so much and giving me so much reciprocation. The blessings of the Vaishnavas make everything meaningful and blissful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So let's read or recite Srila Sanatana Goswami's glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not right. Everything's plugged in. They're saying it's not good.
Yes, I said no sound. But
no sound? Hare Krishna. We've just been told by someone out there that there's no sound, but everything seems to be plugged in properly. And we're checking, double checking.
Rachi said it's fine.
Okay. All right. Srimad Bhagavata Mahima Stotram, the nicest glorification of the Bhagavatam in a very short, succinct stotra. And it goes like this. Sarva Shastrabdipi Yusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnaja, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabho, Kalidvandodita Ditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life, heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master, Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pathaya, Prema Varshak Sharayate, Sarvada Sarvasevyaya, Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you, who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Madeka Bando Matsangin, Madguru Mand Mahadana, Mannistaraga Mad Bhagya, Mad Ananda Namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadu, sadhu tadayin, atini chotata kada. Hanamunchagadachin mam premna rit kantayokspura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, we've reached the second chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapter 2 is entitled Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. King Kamsa not only occupied the kingdoms of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties, and the kingdom of Shurasena, but he also made alliances with all the other demoniac kings as follows: the demon Pralamba, demon Baka, demon Chanura, demon Trinavarta, demon Agasura, demon Mushtika, demon Arishta, demon Dvidvida, demon Putana, demon Keshi, and demon Denuka. The who's who's of the rogue gallery. At that time, Jarasandha was the king of Magadha province, known at present as Bihar state. Thus, Thus by his diplomatic policy, Kamsa consolidated the most powerful kingdom of his time under the protection of Jarasandha. He made further alliances with such kings as Banasura and Bhomasura until he was the strongest. Then he began to behave most inimically toward the Yadu dynasty, into which Krishna was to take his birth. Being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties took shelter in different states, such as the state of the Kurus, the state of the Panchalas, and the state known as Kekaya, Shalva, Vidarbha, Nishada, Videha, and Koshala. Kamsa broke the solidarity of the Yadu kingdom, as well as the Bhoja and Andaka. He made his position the most solid within the vast tract of land known at that time as Bharatvarsha. When Kamsa was killing the six babies of Devaki and Vasudev, one after another, many friends and relatives of Kamsa approached him and requested him to discontinue these heinous activities. But all of them became worshippers of Kamsa. When Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna, known as Ananta, appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed with both jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb. But at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as her child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate upon the Yadus, who were fearful due to the atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of Yogamaya, his internal potency. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, but he is especially the Lord of the Yadu dynasty. Yogamaya is the principal potency of the Supreme, of the Personality of Godhead. In the Vedas, it is stated that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has multi-potencies, parasya shaktir, vividaiva shruyate. All the different potencies are acting externally and internally, and Yogamaya is the chief of all potencies. The Lord ordered the appearance of Yogamaya in the land of Brajabhumi, in Vrindavan, which is always decorated with and full with beautiful cows. In Vrindavan, Rohini, one of the wives of Vasudev, was residing at the house of King Nanda and Queen Yashoda. Not only Rohini, but many others in the Yadu dynasty were scattered all over the country due to their fear of the atrocities of Kamsa. Some of them were even living in the caves of the mountains. The Lord thus informed Yogamaya, under the imprisonment of Kamsa are Devaki and Vasudev. And at the present moment, my plenary expansion, Shesha, is within the womb of Devaki. You can arrange the transfer of Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. After this arrangement, I am personally going to appear in the womb of Devaki with my full potencies. Then I shall appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudev, and you shall appear as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. Since you will appear as my contemporary sister, and since you will quickly satisfy desires for sense gratification, people within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentations, incense, candles, flowers, and offerings of sacrifice. People who are after materialistic perfection will worship you under the different forms of your expansions, which will be named Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. Krishna and Yogamaya appeared as brother and sister, the supreme powerful and the supreme power. Although there is no clear distinction between the powerful and the power, power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful, and Durga is the supreme power within the material world. Actually, people in the Vedic culture worship both the powerful and the power. There are many hundreds and thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi, and sometimes they are worshipped simultaneously. The worshipper of the power, Durga, or the external energy of Krishna, may achieve all kinds of material success very easily, but anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally must engage in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. The Lord also declared to Yogamaya, my plenary expansion, Anantishesha, is within the womb of Devaki on account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini. He will also be known as Sankarsana and will be the source of all spiritual power, or bala, by which one can attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. Therefore, the plenary portion, Ananta, will be known after his appearance either as Sankarsana or as Balarama. In the Upanishads, it is stated, Nayam atva balahine na labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balarama. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balarama or Sankarsana. Ananta or Seshanaga is the source of the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually it is a display of the potency of Sankarsana. Balarama, or Sankarsana, is the source of spiritual power, or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balarama, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is the representative of Balarama, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. Thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya circumambulated the Lord and then appeared within this material world according to his order. When Yogamaya, the supreme power of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, transferred Lord Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, both Devaki and Rohini were under Yogamaya's spell, which is called Yoga Nidra. When this was done, people thought that Devaki's seventh pregnancy had been a miscarriage. Thus, although Balarama appeared as the son of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to appear as her son. After this arrangement, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who was always ready to protect his unalloyed devotees, entered within the mind of Vasudeva as the Lord of the whole creation with full, inconceivable potencies. It is understood in this connection that Lord Krishna first of all situated himself in the unalloyed heart of Vasudeva and was then transferred to the heart of Devaki. He was not put into the womb of Devaki by seminal discharge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potency, can appear in any way. It is not necessary for him to appear in the ordinary way, by seminal injection within the womb of a woman. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure unalloyed heart of Vasudeva is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma refers not only to Krishna's form, but also to his name, his qualities, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva without being subject to any of the conditions of an ordinary living entity. Since Krishna was there, it is to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayana, and incarnations like Nord Nrisinga and Varaha, were with him, and they also were not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, and the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth, but because she was confined within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire, or like misused education. When fire is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused education, which does not benefit the people in general, is not very much appreciated. So Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one else could see her transcendental beauty, which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa, however, saw the transcendental beauty of his sister Devaki, and he at once concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken shelter in her womb. She had never before looked so wonderfully beautiful. He could distinctly understand that there was something wonderful within the womb of Devaki. In this way, Kamsa became perturbed because he was sure that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who would kill him in the future, had now come. Kamsa thought, "What is to be done with Devaki? Surely she has Vishnu or Krishna within her womb. So it is certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. And even if I immediately kill Devaki, his mission cannot be frustrated." Kamsa knew very well that no one can frustrate the purpose of Vishnu. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of nature cannot be violated. His purpose will be served in spite of all. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated. His purpose will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons, Kamsa thought. If I kill Devaki at the present moment, Vishnu will enforce his supreme will more vehemently. To kill Devaki just now would be a most abominable act. No one desires to kill his reputation, even in an awkward situation. If I kill Devaki now, my reputation will be spoiled. Devaki is a woman, and she is under my shelter. She is pregnant, and if I kill her, immediately my reputation, the results of my pious activities, and my duration of life will all be finished. He further deliberated. A person who is too cruel is as good as dead, even in this lifetime. No one likes a cruel person during his lifetime, and after his death, people curse him. On account of his self-identification with the body, he must be degraded and pushed into the darkest region of hell. Kamsa thus meditated on all the pros and cons of killing Devaki at that time. Kamsa finally decided not to kill Devaki right away, but to wait for the inevitable future. But his mind became absorbed in animosity against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He patiently waited for the delivery of the child, expecting to kill him, as he had done previously with the other babies of Devaki, thus being merged in the ocean of animosity against the personality of Godhead, he began to think of Krishna or Vishnu while sitting, while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working, in all the situations of his life. His mind became so much absorbed with the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that indirectly he could only see Krishna or Vishnu around him. Unfortunately, although his mind was so absorbed in the thought of Vishnu, he is not recognized as a devotee because he was thinking of Krishna as an enemy. The state of mind of a great devotee is also to be always absorbed in Krishna. But a devotee thinks of him favorably, not unfavorably. To think of Krishna favorably is Krishna consciousness. I'll repeat that again. Permission granted? To think of Krishna favorably is Krishna consciousness. But to think of Krishna unfavorably is not Krishna consciousness. At this time, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada and followed by many other demigods, invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. They began to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select verses which are very pleasing to the devotees and which award fulfillment of their desires. The first words they spoke acclaimed that the Lord is true to his vow. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends to this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord had taken his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill his vow. And they were very glad that the Lord was appearing in order to fulfill his mission. Then the demigods addressed the Lord as Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is the philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can attain the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Absolute Truth, because unlike relative truth, he is the truth in all the three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time. In the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when this creation is finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is the absolute truth in all circumstances. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the Supreme Truth, Krishna. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. If there is any strength within this material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. This material world is composed of five principal elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And all such elements are emanations from Krishna. The material scientists accept these five primary elements as the cause of the material manifestation. But the elements, in their gross and subtle states, are produced by Krishna. The living entities who are working within this material world are products of his marginal potency. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that the whole manifestation is a combination of two kinds of energies of Krishna, the superior energy and the inferior energy. The living entities are the superior energy, and the dead material elements are his inferior energy. In its dormant stage, everything remains in Krishna. The demigods continued to offer their respectful prayers under the supreme form of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, by analytical study of the material manifestation. What is this material manifestation? It is just like a tree. A tree stands on the ground. Similarly, the tree of the material manifestation is standing on the ground of material nature. This material manifestation is compared to a tree because a tree is ultimately cut off in due course of time. A tree is called vriksha. Vriksha means that thing which will be ultimately cut off. Therefore, this tree of the material manifestation cannot be accepted as the ultimate truth, because it is influenced by time. He is existing, but Krishna's body is eternal. He existed before the material manifestation. He is existing while the material manifestation is continuing, and when it will be dissolved, he will continue to exist. Therefore, only Krishna can be accepted as the absolute truth. The Katha Upanishad also cites this example of the tree of the material manifestation standing on the ground of material nature. This tree has two kinds of fruits, distress and happiness. Those who are living in the tree of the body are just like two birds. One bird is the localized aspect of Krishna, known as the Paramatma, and the other bird is the living entity. The living entity is eating the fruits of this material manifestation. Sometimes he eats the fruit of happiness, and sometimes he eats the fruit of distress. But the other bird is not interested in eating the fruits of distress or happiness because he is self-satisfied. The Katha Upanishad states that one bird on the tree of the body is eating the fruits, and the other bird is simply witnessing. The roots of this tree extend in three directions. This means that the root of the tree is the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Just as the tree's root expands, so by association of the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, one expands his duration of material existence. The tastes of the fruits are of four kinds: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately liberation. Practically, all material work is performed in ignorance. But because there are three qualities Sometimes the quality of ignorance is covered with goodness or passion. The taste of these material fruits is accepted through five senses. The five sense organs through which knowledge is acquired are subjected to six kinds of whips: lamentation, illusion, infirmity and death, hunger and thirst. This material body, I'll repeat that again because I added an extra word and. Anyway, it's very important. We should hear it again. The five sense organs through which knowledge is acquired are subjected to six kinds of whips: lamentation, illusion, infirmity, death, hunger, and thirst. This material body, or the material manifestation, is covered by seven layers: muscle, blood, marrow, bone, fat, and semen. The branches of the tree are eight: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. There are nine gates in this body: the two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one mouth, one genital organ, one rectum. And there are 10 kinds of internal air passing within the body: prana, apana, udana, vyana, samana, etc. The two birds seated in this tree, as explained above, are the living entity and the localized Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma. The root cause of the material manifestation described here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself to take charge of the three qualities of the material world. Vishnu takes charge of the mode of goodness, Brahma takes charge of the mode of passion, and Lord Shiva takes charge of the mode of ignorance. Brahma, by the mode of passion, creates this manifestation. Lord Vishnu maintains this manifestation by the mode of goodness, and Lord Shiva annihilates it by the mode of ignorance. The whole creation ultimately rests in the Supreme Lord, and he is the cause of creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And when the whole manifestation is dissolved in its subtle form as his energy, it rests within his body. At present, the demigods prayed, the Supreme Lord Krishna is appearing just for the maintenance of this manifestation. Actually, the supreme cause is one, but less intelligent persons, being deluded by the three modes of material nature, see that the material world is manifested through different causes. Those who are intelligent can see that the cause is one, Krishna. As it is stated in the Brahma Sangita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of all causes. Brahma is the deputed agent for creation. Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna for maintenance. And Lord Shiva is the expansion of Krishna for dissolution. Our dear Lord, the demigods prayed, it is very difficult to understand your eternal form or personality. People in general are unable to understand your actual form. Therefore, you are personally descending to exhibit your original eternal form. Somehow people can understand the different incarnations of your lordship, but they are puzzled to understand the eternal form of Krishna with two hands, moving among human beings exactly like one of them. This eternal form of your lordship gives ever-increasing transcendental pleasure to the devotees. But for the non-devotees, this form is very dangerous. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very pleasing to the sadhus, puritranaya sadhunam. But this form is very dangerous for the demons because Krishna also descends to kill the demons. He is therefore simultaneously pleasing to the devotees and dangerous to the demons. And it's 8 o'clock, and I beg your indulgence that we can stop here. It's a good stopping place. Hare Krishna. This wonderful Krishna book, in which Krishna, in which Srila Prabhupada rather, weaves together all the elements in between the actual prayers of the demigods to explain what they're saying in such clear, vivid, simple English that we can actually understand the deepest conclusions of all the Vedic scriptures. Try to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam is the end result of all of the philosophical descriptions of the Vedas and the Upanishads and all the historical explanations of the Puranas and the Itihasas. And the Bhagavatam is the summum bonum, and this 10th canto is the summum bonum of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. We'll stop there. Any reflections or?
From Gopakanya Devidasi.
Gopakanya Devidasi.
Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and your transcendental daily readings of Krishna Katha service. Rati Manjari said Jai Guru Maharaj.
Hari Bol Rati.
This is from Gopal Roy.
Gopal Roy, Hari Bol, I'm honored.
Dear Maharaj, thank you again for these readings and making yourself so available to us. You are keeping these Conwales Sankirtan devotees blissful and spiritually nourished. I have placed an order for many Krishna books for distribution.
Oh, nice.
If I may ask, some devotees are reluctant to distribute Krishna book because it is, quote, more for those who are already devotees. While I do not personally share this view, I understand how, with the current climate so against religion and God, devotees may feel squeamish presenting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Devaki was worried about informing the demon counselor about Krishna. Now the world is full of such demons. These readings are providing evidence of how relevant and exciting Krishna book is. Could you please say some more words to encourage us to flood society with the medicine of Krishna's pastimes? We are your servants, Gopal Roy.
What is happening when the devotees are afraid to distribute the Krishna book to others? It means that they don't really believe it. They don't have faith. They don't have strong faith in Krishna. They don't realize that Krishna is in the heart of everyone. Who are we to decide who's going to be able to hear Krishna and who's not? Which one of us wasn't out there doing all nonsense before we heard the Krishna book, before we heard Srila Prabhupada's preaching, and read his books. How many people have come to Krishna consciousness by hearing something else? Every single person who's come to the Krishna consciousness movement has come by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Every single one of them. So don't be worried about those who aren't going to believe it. They're not favorable. Keep giving out the books. And those books have people's names on them. Nothing happens in this material world without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Not even a blade of grass moves in the wind without the Supreme Paramatma's influence of time influencing it. Therefore, be Krishna conscious yourself. Have full faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna will send you the people who can hear these books. And if they send other people, those people may say, oh, that Krishna, what did that person, what did that Krishna. And he'll become Krishna conscious, even unfavorably. He'll get the mercy of Krishna, just like Kamsa got the mercy of Krishna. It is weak faith and it is stupidity to be afraid to give Krishna to the public. Listen to Prabhupada's lectures every single day. Listen to the room conversations in which he met all kinds of people every single day. And follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Don't be afraid. Slash this doubt, these doubts, with the weapon of knowledge. If you're convinced that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, you will not be afraid of Maya. You will not be afraid if someone's going to think ill of the movement or of Krishna. It's been going on since time immemorial. What more evidence do you need? The whole history of the universe lays before us in the pages of the Bhagavatam, in all the Puranas, in all the Itihasas. There are two classes of created beings, demons and devotees. And now Kali Yuga, the demons are increasing and the devotees are decreasing. Does that mean we stop giving us Krishna book? No way. Do you think you have the capacity to convince somebody, if you don't have faith in Krishna, that Krishna's God? Listen to these wonderful summary study of the Krishna book, how Krishna is explaining every little detail of how the material world works. He's opening the eyes. And anyone who hears with honesty and sincerity, truthfulness, they will be able to accept. And even if it's only a few people, it only takes a few people. You know, what one Prabhupada said, 1%, 2%, 5%. It will take the Krishna consciousness movement to become at its peak of influence in the world 5,000 years. It will take that long for the Krishna consciousness movement to spread. And in the meantime, there's going to be all other kinds of things that spread, like coronavirus, for example, and other wars and petulance and natural disasters. They're increasing every day. Political upheaval, social upheaval. So don't have faith in the politicians and philosophers and the TED Talk peoples, you know, that they're going to change the world. Nobody can change the world. But we can change people's hearts. We can change the hearts of people who are honest and reasonable. Hare Krishna.
Sudevi Dasi said, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Anandamochi Devi Dasi, Jai Gurudev, please accept Mahaprabhu obeisances. All grace to Srila Prabhupada. Today, I understand that thinking about Krishna favorably is Krishna consciousness. Krishna is cause of all causes.
Yes.
Krishna is also the cause of this material world. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Back to Gopal Roy's question. The other day, a brand new devotee, Bhakti Eden, in London, was distributing the Gita to a person on the street, and the person broke down in tears because he said, I've been looking for this my whole life. Hare Krishna. He couldn't have done that unless he went out and gave the Bhagavad Gita to him. Hare Krishna.
This is from Yadutama Das.
Yadutama.
Dear Gurudev, please accept my obeisances and all glories to Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Yadutama.
I was really taken aback by Kamsa's reaction to Devaki and his twisted logic of why he shouldn't kill his sister.
Yeah, right. As if, you know, he wasn't heinous killing every single, you know, baby of Devaki up to that point. And then he's trying to think that, oh, if I kill her now, it'll might ruin my reputation. As if his reputation already hasn't been ruined. His reputation was already finished. Therefore, when he was killed, there was a celebration. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Everybody celebrated practically. Except for the demons.
This is from Raj Lakshmi. Thank you, Maharaj. I always wanted to read Krishna books systematically, page by page. At last, by your mercy, it is happening now. Thank you.
Thank you, Raj Lakshmi, and thank you for taking care of us in our hour of need. I told Raj Lakshmi when I left that, well, not everyone, but I'm collecting mothers. and anyone that takes care of me like you took care of me for almost 5 weeks, she's my mother. So, Mom, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Primavati Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranams. Thank you for the reading of Krishna book and elaborating. This is from Bhakta Rupa.
Hare Krishna Bhakta Rupa.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. In relation to Gopal Roy's question, do you have any one-liners to sell a Krishna book?
One-liners? Oh, yeah, there's so many things that come into my mind. I can't give you one-liner. All I know is, you know, I mean, when I met people, when I was doing book distribution every day, a long time ago, in the early 70s, I would come up to a person and I would say to him, you know, you look like a mystic. And people they want to be glorified. They want to be thought of like that. And they can't refuse because they want that. Just like when Sanatana Goswami was in jail, you know, and then Rupa sent him a message. Said, look, I put some money in a grocery for savings. Use that money to get out of jail. So he went to the jailkeeper. And he said, you are a pious saint, a great devotee. You know, the guy was farthest from the saint, but sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to make the person think there's something wonderful before and they'll take something from you. So I don't know if I have any one-liners for the Krishna book other than any other book, but one thing is you have to make the person receptive by speaking nicely to them, and being yourself happy. There's no one-liners that sell these books. If you're happy in Krishna consciousness, these books will go out like hotcakes. If you chant your rounds strictly every day and attend your programs every day and be spiritually strong and fixed in your Krishna consciousness, that's the one-liner. Hare Krishna.
Gopara said, "Thank you much, you're like fire."
Hare Krishna.
Raj Lakshmi said, "Thank you much, you're very, very kind. My Dandavat pranams at your lotus feet."
Hare Krishna to you, thank you.
Bhaktarupa said, "Hari Bol."
Hari Bol. Thank you very much for those wonderful reflections and questions. And yes, let us be fixed in hearing the truth and don't try to make ourselves more like materialists in order for the materialist to feel attracted to us. Let us become pure devotees so that the honest people will be attracted to us. Krishna book ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, the Summum Bonum, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sama Beda Bhakta Brinda ki jai, Gaur Prem Anandi Hari Hari Bol. See you tomorrow night, same time, same place, same topic, the goal of life. Wouldn't you like to know what the goal of life is, sir? Hare Krishna.